Okay, so I am going to get back to Tanya eventually, but for the time being, I'll just do some mamorim on Chassidus on different topics. Today we're going to do one of the parsha. Before we start, today's Yonah's father's yahrzeit, and his name is?
Moshe Chaim
Ben Yitzchak Arya. So in his merit, Neshama Shalom Aliyah, only good things. Also, maybe just a good time to mention, just to wish Yonah only well. She has relatives that have
three
that have been killed in Israel in this conflict, so wish you just on lots of strength. And then a Shama Shavan Aliyah, and we should only merit to the salvation very, very soon. So this is a mimer on this week's parsha, on actually a part of the parsha that is not often spoken about. And to be honest, I don't know that much about it either, but it's something that we don't always research properly. It's a bit of a cryptic part of the parsha. It's about the rainbow. At the end of the parsha, we have that. Sorry?
It's like washed over.
Yeah, because, you know, the mabul, the flood, always takes precedence. Lots of parshas are like that, by the way, that there's like the classic topics of the parsha, and you find tons of commentary in it, and then you have those little details in the parsha that not a lot of commentary. And anyway, so maybe one day it would be a good thing to research it properly, but I did find this mimer from which in Tovshin Mem Gimel, which is 1982 actually, the Rebbe spoke about it on the Shabbos, and he said that they just printed a manuscript that they'd found as part of the previous Rebbe's library or something, and it didn't have a name on it, but he said it looks like it's a mimer from the Alter Rebbe, and it's on the concept of the thing, and the Rebbe spoke, just mentioned it, and he elaborated on it, so we'll do it. Now, I copied it. What we're going to do is we're going to do it, just we'll do, I know it's a bit annoying this, but I highlighted the part that we're going to do inside, so just to make it easier. Okay. So the pasuk begins, I'm just going to grab a chumash actually. So what happened was after the mabul, after the flood, Noach brought some sacrifices, and there was a whole interchange between him and Hashem. I'm going to just read you the pasuk in full because it's not actually brought down here. Here we are. So Hashem said, "I'll just read it to you." He said, "Vakimoisis prisi." Hashem said, he told Noach to go out of the teva, and they brought the sacrifices. And he said to Noach, "Vakimoisis prisi. I'm going to establish my covenant with you, and from now on, there will never be a situation again where God will destroy the entire inhabitants of the world, and there will never be a mabul. There will never be a flood that will destroy the world as it did in the time of the flood." And then Hashem says, "Vayomer Elokim, Zois Oisabris, this is the sign of this covenant that I'm giving between me and you, and between all the creatures of the world and you, Ladoris Olam, for all the generations of the world." And he says, "As Kashti Nosati Ba'onon," which is translated here, "I will set my rainbow in the cloud, V'hoysala Ois Bris, and it will be a sign of covenant, Be'niu Be'na'oris, between me and the earth." Okay, so that was the concept of the rainbow, which is why, on a very simple thing, that when Hashem puts the rainbow in, it's actually considered not such a good thing. When you see a rainbow, you know there's a bracha you're supposed to make on the rainbow. And it's brought down in some paskim that you're not supposed to alert other people to say the bracha, because like a rainbow is something that's a sign that really Hashem is not so happy, but he's made a promise he won't bring a mabul, so he's not doing it. So instead there's a rainbow, right? Although in this moment there's a bit of a deeper, more positive explanation to it, but it's such a concept. It's also brought down in the time of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The world was at such a great level, there was no rainbow, and so on. It's also interesting, I'm not sure the science of this, but it's also interesting why it says he'll put the rainbow in the cloud. And a lot of this mimer is based on the idea of the cloud. Because actually, there's always a cloud when there's a rainbow, but actually the rainbow doesn't come from the cloud, apparently. I looked it up. It's not my area of expertise, but actually the cloud would get in the way of the rainbow. Actually, you wouldn't be able to see the colors. So it's more about the light shining through the droplets. But it's always as a result of a cloud, or it's a cloud that was there because that made the rain. But the Torah clearly connects it with the concept of a crap. So let's begin. So you say, it begins the mimer. A mimer, by the way, is a Hasidic discourse that you said it off of Rehingen, that the Rebbe would say often. And he says the following, "Zois ois sabris, this is the sign of the covenant, as kashti nasati ba'onon, I'm going to put the rainbow in the cloud. And the next passage says that the cloud will be, the rain will be in the cloud, and so on and so forth. So he says, Hine maimer, yeshnoi maimer al psukim elu. There is a maimer on these verses. Shenitpas ze'ata that just been printed. Ukanira, and it seems that it, Hu Rabbeinu Hazaken, that it's a maimer attributed to the Alter Rebbe, that he was the one who originally said this maimer. And I didn't highlight the rest of the page because it goes into a tangent to explain why he thought it was a maimer from the Alter Rebbe. Okay, so go to the bottom. Umevi b'maimer zeh es kushyas ha-mefarshim. And he brings in this maimer the question of the mefarshim, question of the commentaries. Turn over the page. Mahu inyan hakesha sinishchadesh achar ha-mabul. What's the idea of this rainbow that was innovated, was created, so to speak? This concept was introduced achar ha-mabul, after the mabul. And who is priest, and it's a sign of covenant. Harei yodua, it's known. Shakesha sudovar tivi, that a rainbow is actually a natural phenomenon. Kshashemesh zoyrachas b'tzad echad merakia, when the sun shines from one side of the heaven, so to speak. B'tzad shekenegdo, in the other side, yesh anonim, there are clouds. In al day zeh nirim gavne akeshes b'anonim, you can see the colors of the rainbow, and the clouds are there as a backdrop, so to speak, and you see it with the clouds, through the clouds, whatever the case is. And that's what it is. But whatever it is, it's a natural phenomenon. So what's the concept that this natural sort of process was introduced after the flood? What does that mean? Okay. He says like this. Yuvin zeh, we'll be able to understand this. The Hegdim, by prefacing, biur inyan ha'onon, to understand the concept of the cloud, she'olov ne'mar es kashti nasati, which is mentioned with some degree of emphasis, beruchnis, in the psukim with regard to the rainbow. Let's understand the concept of a cloud and the spiritual content. Right? Now this, of course, is before we go further, this, of course, is connected with the thing that's often said in Chassidus. Everything that the world is... in Chassidus, we believe in a theory of evolution, not Darwin's theory, a different theory of evolution, right? That everything that exists in the physical evolved from the spiritual, right? The way Hashem created the world, there's the four spiritual worlds, as we talked about, with the 10 spheres, starting with the world of Atzilus, and then Bri, Yetzirah, Asi, and so on. And every level it comes down, and every time something evolves from something else, eventually it evolves into the spiritual, into the physical, right? So for example, we say water is a symbol of chesed, right? A symbol of kindness. Fire is a symbol of gevura. We don't mean by that Hashem created water and water becomes like a symbol of chesed. No. It means that the water actually evolves from the power of chesed. Water is a flowing thing, it's a giving thing, but in the spiritual sense, there's first of all a creation called chesed, there's a phenomenon called chesed, and that evolves into the water. So I'm just mentioning that because anything that exists in the physical evolves from something that is spiritual. Therefore, if we have the concept of clouds, begashmias, we have the concept of clouds in the physical world, it means that this idea of clouds spiritual. And what does that mean? Jesus, okay? Hine, he says, the inyan ha'onan beruchnias, when we talk about the cloud in the spiritual sense, yesh beis b'chinas, there are two levels of cloud. There's two concepts of a cloud, spiritually speaking. Inyan ha'onan lemalyusa, there's a cloud, which is a good cloud. Hamoira al b'china nalis b'yosa, that actually the cloud represents, and I'm going to explain in a minute, it represents a very, very high, lofty level of divine revelation. In the following way. The kasher meir gilui naila b'yosef. There are sometimes when Hashem wants to reveal an incredibly high and intense godly divine revelation. Sheyef shel kabloi, that cannot be received in this world in an undiluted pure way, because it'll just be too much and overwhelming for the creation down here. Hine b'shvil zeh tzrichim la'onon, you need a cloud. A cloud somewhat dilutes. It allows the revelation to flow through, but it's somewhat blocks the intensity, right? Shal yodai dafke yecholim lekabel hagilui, that through that you're able to receive that revelation. Okay, what he's talking about over here is what he's talking about over here is like this. He's talking about this concept that it says in Chassidus, you have sometimes tzimtzum b'shvil hagilui. In other words, sometimes there's a little bit of holding back. But the whole intention of that is for revelation. It's not to hold back, it's not to hide, it's not to conceal. Its purpose is to give, right? But there cannot be that intensity of giving for the time being. So therefore, Hashem holds back, camouflages a bit, dilutes, and therefore lets through a level of divine revelation that is applicable, that is appropriate for the receiver, right? And he says the following. For example, Valderech Mashakosov, similar to what it's written, Kishemesh Umogein Hashem Elokim. It says that the famous pasuk that the Shemesh, the sun, and its shield is like Hashem and Elokim. Apparently the sun has some sort of shield on it that we don't get the whole full intensity of the sun, because that would be too much for us. That's a physical example of this, right? So there's some sort of what the Gemara calls, the Chazal called the Nartik, the cover of the sun that allows us to get the rays of the sun and not be burnt by them, right? So it says there's the Shemesh, there's the sun, and there's the Mogin, and there's the shield, right? And that's analogous, says the Pasuk, to Hashem and Elohim. So we know there's different names of Hashem, right? So Yudkei Vavkei, that's the infinite name of Hashem, that represents Hashem's true revelation in its pure infinite form. Elohim, we know, is the name of Tzimtzum, is the name of concealment. So we have the sun and the Mogin and the shield, which is like Hashem and Elohim, right? Tekshem she'efsha listakel b'Hashem shel adei Mogin. Just like it's impossible to look at the sun only through a shield. I mean, even physically it's like that, right? You can't look at the sun straight. You need something to, right? Kachi efsha lekabel esagilui d'shemesh Hashem. So too, you cannot receive the gilui, the revelation of the shemesh of Yudkei Vavkei, that sun, that intensity of Yudkei Vavkei, ki'im al yedei hamogein v'nartik d'shem Elokim, unless you have the shield of the name of Elokim. Right? Like the name of Tzimtzum. But this is all a cloud concept, which is not there to block, it's actually there to reveal. That's its purpose. It needs to block a bit so it can reveal, right? Now, a very fascinating thing he mentions, if you skip to the next highlighted part, he says, "Vezeh inyan de Matan Torah." This is the idea of Matan Torah. What happened by Matan Torah? The chesiv, it's written, "Vayovei Moshe b'soicha onam." Moshe Rabbeinu went into Har Sinai. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu went into the cloud. So the way Chassidus learns, it wasn't a physical cloud, it was a spiritual cloud. What does that mean? Matan Torah, we know, you see, there's a difference between how Hashem created the world. When Hashem created the world, the cloud was different. The Elohim was different. Hashem created a very finite world and a dark world, a world where God is completely hidden. We know about Him, we can sometimes witness His miracles, we can think about Him, we can tap into Him, but the truth is, this world is a world of complete choshech, complete darkness. In other words, the cloud, which we're going to talk about in a minute, the cloud of creation is a different type of cloud. It's a cloud of blocking. It's a cloud of concealment. Right? When it came Matan Torah, for example, where Hashem wanted to reveal Himself on Har Sinai, and in Matan Torah there was an incredible, intense, and transcendent divine revelation, but it still needed a cloud because it wouldn't be able to take it here. Right? So it says there was a cloud on Har Sinai, and that was a good cloud. The cloud was for the purpose of allowing a new type of revelation into the world. But it would still come into the world, but the world wouldn't disintegrate because of that revelation. Right? And that's why it says, Vayovei Moshe b'soicha ona. Moshe Rabbeinu came into the cloud. That because the revelation of Matan Torah was an unbelievable transcendent gilui, revelation. Lochein lekabel es hagilui hazeh. In order to receive this gilui, this revelation, hutzrach lelevush ta'onon, you needed the garment of the cloud. You needed the cloud to filter a little bit and to allow the revelation. Then if you just go to the, don't worry about the next line. It says, v'zeu gamkein inyan haktoiris de yoyim makipurim. And that's also, where else do we find the reference to a cloud? On Yom Kippur. When the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, he had to bring Keter, he had to bring incense, right? Incense was considered the bond between, you know, the word Keteris, I've said this on Yom Kippur, the word Keteris, it means incense, right? But also has the Aramaic word of, it's a funny word to mention now, but in Aramaic, it's a word called Katar, Kuf Tes Resh, right? It's Aramaic word, which means connection, actually. I don't know what the country means, but right? They're certainly not connected to God, that's for sure. But right, so So katar means connection. So we know that the difference in a korban, right? So normally in the base of Mikdash, the main focus of the rituals every day was the korbanos, the sacrifices, right? That was brought outside, and it was on Yom Kippur. I mean, there was keteris also daily, but that was a small thing, and it was inside. But on Yom Kippur, the main focus was the keteris, the incense that was brought inside the Holy of Holies. Why? Because the word korban, right, means kiruv, to become close. Close means, well, there's two separate things which are close to each other, right? So it's like represents a closeness between us and Hashem, but it's more of an external connection. We're very close, but we're distant. So, Ketoris is actually represents a much deeper connection between us and Hashem. It's got to do with the connection of the essence of the neshama, which comes out on Yom Kippur, which was accomplished through the Kohen Gadol going into. I mean, now there's accomplished. They're talking about it, learning about it, but. In those days, it was accomplished with the Kohen Gadol actually going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there he witnessed an unbelievable divine revelation, which connected to the divinity within our souls and created this unbelievable bond between us and Hashem. Right? How did it happen? So it says in the Pasuk that the Kohen Gadol had to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a pan, and in the one hand with coals, and in the other hand incense, ketoris. Then he would put the ketoris, the incense, onto the coals, and it would create a cloud of smoke. That's what it says. And it says there in the Pasuk, ki be'onon, same word, the onon, because with the cloud, says Hashem, I will then reveal myself through that cloud. I will reveal myself on top of the or on top of the ark, and that will be the punchline of Yom Kippur, right? It will be the climax of Yom Kippur. So it also says the word cloud. But again, what's the idea? It's a good cloud. It's because there was such a gilui, because there was such a revelation. Therefore, there's the concept of the cloud. Okay, that's what he says. And that's also the cloud of Yom Kippur, which came, habo alidei avodas hatshuva, which comes through the avodah of tshuva. Shua onan lemal yusid, it's the good cloud, but darga achinai lishavoy, at the highest level. Okay. Now you go to the next page. It says the following. Right? You have the page. It's page 7, page Zion on the top here. It says v'yesh b'chinas onon legreyusa, but there's also a cloud that's a negative cloud. Hamoyre al inyan hayurido b'yoser, that cloud doesn't represent a revelation. On the contrary, it's a cloud that represents a descent. In other words, it represents a plunge into darkness. Right, it's a thick cloud. Ki machmas ribuy heishtalshlus ha'mesochim v'aprasoyis. Because of the evolution of so many like good clouds that happened at the very beginning of creation, that represent the revelations on high, but what happened was him onan to kedusha from a holy cloud nishtalshul evolves bechinas onan the type of cloud shu helem vehester legamri of complete darkness. Which is why, where else do we find a reference to clouds? It's very interesting how we go through Tanakh and we find different references to clouds. You see how it works, right? Mitam zeh, because of this, he says. Dimu avoynes upshoyim lanon. I mean, Tanakh, in fact, especially the stuff that we read, we actually mention these psukim on Yom Kippur because we're doing tshuva for our sins, and we it's mentioned in the Haftoris of the 3 weeks, and says it actually compares in the Tanakh, it compares sins, transgressions to a cloud, right? Like it says, because Hashem says eventually, if you do tshuva, mochisi ka'op shoecha, I will wipe out the cloud of your sins. Ucha onon chateisecha. And like the other, and onan also is a cloud, your transgressions, right? Because why? Because when we do things we shouldn't do, we distance ourselves from Hashem, and we diminish the revelation. We create a cloud, we create darkness, right? Ki onan zed, this cloud that we're talking about now, the negative cloud, is not for the purpose of revelation, it's for the purpose of separation. Hu masach mavdil, it's a screen that divides us between us and Hashem. And that's why it's also called a cloud, but here it's the cloud of concealment. Like it's written, Avoinoisechem hoyu mavdilim, the Pasuk says, your sins. It says, like it says, that nothing can separate between us and Hashem, right? It says, Ein mechitza shel bazel, even an iron wall can never separate between us and Hashem. There's only one thing that can, and that's the things that we do wrong. That separates us. When we do things wrong, that we also create a cloud. That's a different cloud. It's not a cloud of revelation, it's a cloud of darkness and separation. The next paragraph, he says, He says, even this we can see in Gashmias, how it works in the physical. Again, everything physical evolves in the spiritual. Pine. Kishem sheyesh beiz b'chines elu b'onon aruchni. Just like we have these two types of clouds in the spiritual sense, b'chines onon sheinyon ha'gilu, we have the cloud which is revelation. U'b'chines onon sheinyon b'shvil ha'astir l'hayim l'gamri, then we have the cloud that is there just to completely conceal. Lochein gam b'onon ha'gashvi, therefore even in physical clouds, yesh boy beiz b'fanim, we have two ideas. Yesh dom anonim kalim, sometimes have what's called very light scattered clouds. Shall yodam that through them efshali stakil alhonis mishemesh, you can have benefit from the sun, right? You can have benefit from the sun, right? Al kaponim lerega, you can see the sun a bit. The rays come through. It's a bit like what we used to call in South Africa, a monkey's wedding. Like sometimes it rains and suddenly it scatters a bit, and through the clouds comes the sun, right? So in other words, it's the clouds. It's not the intensity of the sun, but there's rays of the sun. It's warm and. And then there's v'yesh anonim, and then there's our clouds. We know machshichim lagamri before a storm. You see a black sky that's completely hiding the sun. Yeah, and that's why dalze omur rabbi seinuzal. That's why our rabbis tell us in the Gemara that b'gemurim a maimer like the Alter Rebbe quotes in his maimer. It says kosher in tainis. The Gemara tainis that says kosher yoyma de eva ke yoyma de dino. Says the days of a cloudy day, meaning intense clouds, is as severe as a day of judgment. That's what it says. What is judgment? We know judgment is not chesed, right? Din, gvura is not chesed. Din is a lot of holding back the mercy, holding back the what Hashem wants to give us, right? Shem b'chinas din rachma l'san, as days of judgment. Okay. So that's the concept of clouds. That's the explanation of clouds in the spiritual. Now, this is like this. B'zeh mu'yuvan, this will understand. Inyan ha'keshes sh'nishadesh achar ha'mabul davke. Now we can understand the clouds, or the rainbow that's connected to the clouds, that was introduced specifically after the Mabul. Now, before we go further, I must explain something. So we have like this. We have when Hashem created the world, even though there was, when Adam HaRishon was created, when Adam was created, there was some sort of divine consciousness. Adam HaRishon himself was created as a creation of Hashem, and he himself, says the Medrash, realized who created him right away, and he called out to the creation to bow down to Hashem. We mentioned this on Rosh Hashanah and so on and so forth. However, we know it didn't last very long, only a couple of hours, because what happened was, after the first sin, after the first chait, the whole world took a complete turn, a turn for the worse, right? Now, truly, we're still suffering from there. Until Mashiach comes, we'll have the effects of it. But for the next 10 generations, at least until Noach, the world was plunged into an incredible degree of darkness. Which is why the whole generation of the Mabul came about, and the atrocities and the violence and the dishonesty and so on and so forth, right? When the Mabul came, so the Mabul did two things. This is a very famous concept in Chassidus. It's a famous concept that Alter Rebbe brings, and it's important to understand before we do the next few lines. Normally when we read Parshas Noach, we look at the Mabul just as a punishment, right? And it was a punishment. It was a punishment for the society at the time. There was a decadent society. And if Hashem decided to wipe them out, right? But actually, it's not just a punishment. Because water, we know that although the Mabul, the flood, was very violent, and water, a flood is violent, but really water is a symbol of chesed, we know, right? In a way. So how does that fit? So we say that there was an aspect of the Mabul that was a chesed. And that was a cleansing of the world and actually a refinement of the world. The world after the Mabul, it wasn't just like we got rid of the bad people, now we have Noach, maybe we'll start again. It was actually had taken the world and completely purified it to a sense that now it became possible to introduce more spirituality into the world, which was impossible before the Mabul. Which is why the Alter Rebbe says in Lekutei Torah, in Torah Oyer, that the Mabul was like a mikveh. How much water do you have to have in a mikveh? There's a measurement called 40 saw. Right, so is a measurement that's a liquid measurement in the Gemara. And the Mabul was for 40 days, right? Sorry, yeah? In fact, just to digress for a second, there's a fascinating talk of the Rebbe that he once explained, a very fascinating thing. Because when the Mabul starts, if you look in the Chumash, right, most times it refers to it as the Mabul. Like the Mabul was finished, the Mabul was going, the Mabul was on the ground. the world is full. But when it started, the Malbim, when it started, it says, Vayhi hageshem al ha'aretz. The rain, it started to rain. And Rashi says that when it started with rain, but because they didn't do tshuva, it turned into a Malbim, right? And the Rebbe learns that actually that means, it means something deeper. It means actually that the whole Malbim was potentially geshem. Now geshem, we know, is a symbol of bracha, right? The Rebbe explains this in a very fascinating talk in a context like this, that we know we say the Torah kodma le'olam. Torah preceded the world, right? Now what does that mean, the Torah preceded the world? It means the Torah transcends the world. That means, as we know, the Torah is a blueprint for creation, right? So it becomes very difficult when we look at the stories of the Chumash, right? So what does that mean? So it was always destined and had to sin, and there was going to be a mumble, and the world was going to be destroyed. That was all designing to the world. What does that mean? So it's a long, long talk, but the essence of it is like this. He says it's just like this. First of all, the Torah, as it transcends the world, is in a different language than we have it. The language we have it is the language that was given to us in, but the concepts of the Torah are the same, which means like this. The ideas of the Torah were always there. How we chose to implement them and how we chose it to be played out depends on the free choice of the human beings, right? What that means is there was always going to be a Mabul. What does that mean, there was always going to be a Mabul? That means it was destined that after 10 generations after the world was created, there was always going to be a purification of the world. Right? There's always going to be a mikveh. It was time for a mikveh. Hashem created a world. He ultimately wanted us to reveal Him into the world. He created a very finite world and a physical world. The world was always going to be at a certain point elevated to a whole new level. And it could have happened in a way where it didn't have to have the destructive element of it. It would have had only the blessing element of it. But because because people sinned and that people were dishonest, so therefore it came down as a marble, but it never lost its blessing element to it. Right? It never lost its purification element to it.
It could have been like a gentle rain.
Yeah, it could have been a mikveh, whatever that means. I mean, we could have, I guess, like gone to a mikveh. We could have been in a mikveh and come out alive. I don't know. Yeah. So therefore the marble has this mikveh element to it. Therefore, after the Mabul, although there was punishment, it was punitive. In other words, people died and there was the... But it was also a purification. Now, what is that? How's it relevant to us? It's like this. So this we can understand the rainbow. Shenishadish ahamabul was introduced specifically after the Mabul. The lifnei hamabul before the Mabul, hoya oilam bilti mezuchach. The world was completely unrefined. And therefore, the clouds that were before were not a clouds of revelation, they were clouds of darkness. And it was a cloud, to use the analogy, it was a cloud that blocks the sun completely, that blocks any form of revelation and light. Right? Therefore, it was clouds that would have blocked the seeing of the colors of the rainbow, which we'll see in a second what the colors of the rainbow represent. So before, the clouds were just clouds of darkness, clouds of blocking. But after the mabul, that after that the world was actually refined, was elevated. Nasu ha'anonim kalim yoisa, the clouds became lighter clouds, spiritually and therefore also physically. They gave an opportunity to see the rays of the sun and the light of the sun coming through the droplets and the prism of the three things of the rainbow, of the powers of the rainbow, right? In other words, the potential now for transformation, the potential to introduce light, the divine revelation, was created, introduced after the Mabul. And that's actually the message of the Keshes. It's not just a negative message that I'm not going to bring a Mabul because I don't want to destroy the world again. And therefore what I'm going to do is every time I'm angry with you, I'm going to show you, I'm going to warn you and show you a rainbow. It's very different to that. It's actually what I'm going to show you is the potential to transform. I'm going to show you that from now on I'm not going to bring a Mabul because now the world is at a different level. It's a whole other vort of the rainbow. It's an amazing vort this. What Hashem was saying to Noach is, I'm making a covenant with you. Now the truth is, you can ask the question, why should you make a covenant with him? You should tell them, no, behave yourselves. And if in a couple of generations, if you guys mess up again, I'll bring another Mabul. Why did Hashem promise not to do that? It's almost like Hashem regretted bringing the Mabul. What? Hashem is not like that. Hashem doesn't make mistakes like we do. Like we make rash decisions and then regret them later. Right? I shouldn't make a rash decision. I'm so angry with them, I'm going to bring a marble. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea. It doesn't work like that with Hashem, right? So what's up, Shav? Shav's like this. Hashem brought about a marble because he elevated the world. And he says, now from now on, and you'll see, we'll connect with the idea of tshuva. From now on, there's this potential for tshuva. And therefore, from now on, even if you create dark clouds and you create darkness, there's a way to transform those clouds into lighter clouds and introduce light. There was no need to bring a marble anymore.
They had potential for tshuva before.
Yeah, they did, but it was much harder, which is why they didn't do it. Yeah, but it didn't happen. It did. So to realize that there was always a unit of tshuva. We find even the tshuva before, by Kayin and that, but not at the point that it was before. Because you have to understand what tshuva means, right? Tshuva can also be tshuva that Hashem could forgive you, but not necessarily not punish. Otherwise, the darkness can still be there. There's many levels of tshuva, and maybe the concept of tshuva was introduced right away at the beginning of creation, even with other Marishan, it says he did tshuva. Hashem forgave him, but still the effect of the sin was still there, right? The concept of complete transformation couldn't have happened before the marble. Yes, so maybe they could have saved them, but it wouldn't have brought light into the world. It wouldn't have brought the lakus into the world. It wouldn't have transformed the dark clouds. That's something that came after the marble. In other words, at that point, even if they had done tshuva, it could be that they still needed a punishment. Maybe it's not as bad as the marble, maybe, but it would have still been tough. Looks like from what he's explaining it, right? Whereas after the marble, Hashem is saying it's a new thing now. You can now transform the clouds. And that is how do we do that? That's the idea of tshuva. And now what the Rebbe is going to explain is the connection between the tshuva and the clouds. He says, interesting thing, right? He says, V'hine, onan azeh, this cloud, shehu b'shvil ha-gilui, which is for the purposes of revelation, Moira Gamken al Ilyina Tshuva represents the concept of Tshuva. Al Derech, Inyanak Torah. We saw Al Derech, Ananak Torah is in Yom Kippurim. Like we say that there's a cloud on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was a good cloud, it was a cloud for revelation. But what was it a cloud of? Of Tshuva. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the idea of Tshuva, right? And Tshuva is that deep connection with Hashem that you can achieve only through Tshuva, that you can't achieve without doing Tshuva, right? Although that's why we say a person that has tshuva is higher than a tzaddik, because tshuva actually, not just about being forgiven, tshuva is a very deep thing, that you actually create a bigger connection with Hashem, allowing for a greater revelation, allowing for that cloud of Ketoris and that deep revelation of Yom Kippur, right? So what's the cloud actually got to do with tshuva? That's very nice. So what's the connection? Okay, cloud was gilu, Yom Kippur is tshuva. So now we have to connect cloud and tshuva, right? What's the connection between cloud and tshuva? And you know, the idea is like this. What is a cloud? We find the concept of a cloud right at the very beginning, when the first rain. You know that it says that Hashem created the world, and created Gan Eden and everything, and the trees and the grass and everything. But it says in the Pasuk, there was no rain. Why was there no rain? Because there was no human being to work the ground, right? That's what it says in Bereshis. Other Bereshis was then created. And then it says, I'm just going to bring up the pasuk exactly. Give me 1 second. Bereshis Beis pasuk Vav. Yeah, and then it says, "Oh, it says like this." Actually, I'll read the whole pasuk. It's very beautiful. I'll read in English. It's like this: these are the products of the heaven and the earth when they were created on the day that Hashem God made the heaven and earth. Now all the trees. Now next pasuk says: now all the trees and the field were not yet on the earth. In other words, they were there, but it hadn't connected, they weren't started growing yet. Right? And all the herb of the field had not yet sprouted. Why? For Hashem had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to work the soil. Which the Mepharshim explained, Hashem didn't send rain because there was no man to work the soil. But what is, and then it says the next passage, the Eid Yale min Oretz. Where is the passage? 6:16. And a mist, which is like a cloud, right? A mist, ascended from earth and watered the whole surface of the soil. And Hashem created the man such to be able to work there, right?
From downwards up.
Oh, how does a cloud work? It's evaporation from downwards up, right? Yeah. Oh, so he says like this. The Geshem, Sha'onim, Bepashto. Just like by a cloud in the simplest physical sense. Ksiv be, it's written, the turn over the page, V'ei, Yalim, and Oretz, V'hishka. that what happened was the mist went up from the ground and then came down as rain. Sha'anan bo min ha'aretz, right? The cloud actually comes from down here. That's how it works. Ki hu gam kein inyan ha'anan beruchnis, which is also the spiritual cloud, which is hamare ala avoyde milamato avoyde satshuva, which the whole concept is, it represents the idea of tshuva. What is tshuva? We know, right? We talk about this all the time. What's the difference between Pesach and Elul and Tishrei? We even brought it in with the whole two psukim of you know, the famous pasuk of tshuva, Nila Doidiv Doidili of Elul, right? Aintman Belam Belav, it is to me. But there's another pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which is a very similar pasuk. You know that? Which says, Doidili Vaniloi, my beloved is to me and I am to him. Allah Hashem is to me first, right? Which the Mefarshim say refers to Pesach. Pesach, there was no tshuva. Hashem had to start the whole process. He revealed himself in Mitzrayim, shlepped us out of Mitzrayim, and thing. What happened 7 weeks and 40 days later? We served the Egel Azor, right? Then Hashem says, okay, because why did Hashem, so the Gemara says, why did Hashem set us up to fail? Because he wanted the idea of tshuva. Tshuva, the essence of tshuva is not just asking for forgiveness, right? The essence of tshuva, as opposed to being a tzaddik, as opposed to doing everything right to begin with, the essence of tshuva is owning the process, that we connect ourselves to Hashem, that there's a distance between us and Hashem, and we take the steps to come forward, to come close. That is tshuva. That's the essence of tshuva. The person is born a tzaddik, does everything right, but that means that he's still inspired by something else. It's never been proven that he owns the connection to Hashem. There's always a possibility that something would go wrong and he would be uninspired, or he would have a Yetzirah, or something would a challenge would happen, a spiritual challenge, that he would stop doing mitzvahs. Tshuva means to know that I have now brought it in within myself, that's mine. It comes from below. That's the idea of tshuva. And that creates the good cloud. Because tshuva brings upon us a greater revelation than if everything just went right from the beginning. Tshuva had to happen. That's why Hashem created tshuva. Hashem created a world where there was a setup to all to fail, so that there should be tshuva. Because ultimately, the purpose of the world is tshuva. It says in the Zohar that when Hashem will, it's also got to do with the whole idea that Hashem created the world to have a dwelling place down in this world. What does that mean? We've mentioned many times, not just that He wanted to invade this world and live here. He wanted us to invite him in. He wanted the people to create a place for Hashem to live. Right? In order to do that, there had to be a world that fails. So we should do tshuva. Tshuva means that we should connect Hashem. Not that Hashem inspired us to be connected to him, but that we should connect to him. And that's tshuva. That can only happen through tshuva. So therefore, the idea of all, right? It's a very deep thing in Kabbalah that actually we can't say this obviously. It was always free choice, but it's a difficult thing to understand. But ultimately, it says in Kabbalah that the big things, the big failings in history, kind of had to happen. They were destined to happen, like they, right? Because that's the purpose of creation. That we have to, right? It's not like, you know, if Adam Rishon wouldn't have sinned, Mashiach would have come right away. It would be perfectly this. Yeah, that's where the world was created. But actually, Hashem set him up to fail because he had to. Not, we shouldn't speak about that to ourselves because that's not true. Because we have full free choice to take responsibility. But okay, right? And in fact, I'm not going to go to this next part of the paragraph, but he says an interesting thing. He says, we know the way the sun works. You know, this brings us a lot of times that there's three stages of the light of the sun. If you thought of this, why? You know, obviously the rays near the sun are very, very, right next to the sun, it's very hot, obviously, right? I've never been there, but I imagine so, right? But then there's a next part, which is very cold. I mean, if you go very high up, it's cold, right? Yeah, if you go on a mountain, it's cold, right? So why is it hot down here?
Because the earth absorbs the heat.
Oh, and gives it off, right? So Chassidus, that's called, everything in Gashmi is because of the way it's Ruchnis. It's called an Oir Choyzer. It's a rebound light. It's a rebound warmth. That's what it is, right? So that's the true revelation of the sun comes from rebound. That's the idea of tshuva, right? So he says like this. And that's how that happens through the, yeah? It's all connected. Hine, he said, let's have at the next paragraph. So what happens through tshuva, which is the idea of this rebound light, the idea of the cloud coming from the heaven, the aura coming from us, and so on and so forth, that creates the rainbow. Now I say something which when I first learned it, I thought this is interesting because I never learned that in school. But I looked it up. Do you know there's only three main colors of the rainbow? Did you know that? There are three main colors, and that comes all the other colors. Yeah. It's red, blue, and yellow. Correct. Is yellow, or is it red, blue, and? Huh? Yellow. Okay. Well, So he says, "Nasis achakach keshes sheyesh bo gimel gavnim." He says the keshes, the rainbow that has three colors. It actually has seven colors, right? But actually even more, according to some. I looked at it, it was fascinating. Different websites say different things. You could break down 12 colors, 50 colors, right? But actually, it's all rooted in three colors. Yeah? Why? Because what's real tshuva? Listen to this. For in yinu, din avoydes ha-tshuva, tzricha liyois b'chol ha-gimel kava. When you do tshuva, we spoke about this often on a practical level, when you do tshuva, tshuva means that you have to go beyond yourself. You have to change. What does changing mean? You have to say, you cannot serve Hashem because we are governed by three primary emotions, which are the three lines of character. Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes. Those are the three main colors of the rainbow, right? Which is Chesed, is giving, Din is discipline, and Rachamim is mercy and compassion, the synthesis of both, right? As we talk about very often on Thursday mornings, Tuesday morning, yeah? So he says, Validea Tshuva, and that's how you do Tshuva. Therefore, while yedeya tshuva lemata b'gimbuchinas elu, through doing tshuva with these three ideas, that you bring all of you, because if a person does tshuva, but he says, I'm only going to repent, I'm only going to connect to Hashem, what fits into me, what fits into my personality, that's not tshuva. Tshuva means you have to change, you have to change on all levels. You've got to bring all your three primary lines of personality with, right? While yedeya tshuva lemata, through doing tshuva down here, b'gimel b'chinas elu, with these three ideas, mamshichim alamaylo sakashes, you bring the rainbow. You reveal the rainbow. Ima gimel kavnishbo with its three colors, which is chesed, din, and rachamim. Right? Chesed, which is the Hashem's chesed. Din, judgment, good judgment, because that's what we do on Rosh Hashanah. We transform the judgment into sweet judgment. And rachamim, this deep compassion, this idea of the 13 principles of mercy, which say on Yom Kippur. We bring it all down. Which is, what that does is it then erases the negative chesed, gvura, and tiferes that exists in the world of klipa. So he says, "V'zeu mashakasi." This is what it says in the pasuk that Hashem told Noach, "Zois oisabris." This is a covenant. What's a covenant? A covenant is something that's eternal. A covenant is something that's very deep. In other words, Hashem was revealing to Noach a very deep idea. It's the covenant of tshuva. Es kashti nosati ba'onan. He says, I'm now revealing after the Mabul and after the purification of the world, I'm now revealing the rainbow. That you should know that through that now in all future generations, through the avoda of tshuva, you create the cloud, the good cloud, the cloud that is there to reveal, which reveals the three different kavim of Hashem, chesed, gvura, and tiferes, chesed, din, and rachamim. Show anonim that the crowds mevim is kol abrochas will then bring all of the brochas, because what does clouds reveal the revelation? What else the clouds do? They bring rain. Benasati gishmechem beita, that will be rain in its right time and sustenance and blessing and so on and so forth. Ubeoifen shol bris, and Hashem called it a bris. What is a bris? One of the things of bris is a very deep connection, very deep covenant. One of the things of a bris also is that it's eternal, right? Because the famous thing, Hashem told us, He's making a bris with us. He gave us the Torah, He's making a covenant with us. What's the idea of a covenant? The covenant is, in ancient times, we find this idea, this ancient practice of making a covenant between two friends. What's the idea? Two people like each other, right? So they like each other for a reason, because they're compatible. But then the friendship is very deep, so what they do is they make a pact. The pact is that they're always going to be friends, even if something gets in the way. That's a bris. That's the idea of a bris. Bris means it's eternal. That's why Hashem said, now there's a bris. And that's why it says in the pasuk that from now on the oid kol yemei ha'oret zera v'kotzir v'kori v'choim, that Hashem says that all the seasons of the years of the year and the whole routine of the world, I'm not going to bring a mabul, lo yishbois, will never cease. It'll always be there. Why? Because it'll always be that potential to do tshuva. And that's the deeper meaning of the rainbow story. All right, stop there.